Today, North Korea decided not to retaliate as threatened against South Korea for its decision to conduct military drills on the island that was shelled by the North in November. Four South Koreans were killed in that attack, the worst incident between the two Koreas since the Korean War 60 years ago, and an incident that spurred calls for the South to toughen its defense systems. The tensions have also reignited a debate over who should and shouldn't serve in the South Korean military, because an increasing number of women are signing up as new recruits in the wake of that November attack. The BBC's Lucy Williamson reports from Seoul.
The military band welcoming the army's newest recruits is as traditional as they come. But this ceremony is all about how things are changing in South Korea. At the front of the hall, Hun Jin sits stiffly facing the podium, navy skirt and cap immaculate, knees tight together. Only the flick of eyeliner at the corners of her eyes marks her out from the other women around her. Hun Jin and her colleagues are the first female students in South Korea to be allowed onto their college's officer training program, part of the military's aim to double the number of its women volunteers. But since Hun Jin signed up, the threat of serious conflict on the Korean peninsula has become much more real.
After the shelling of Yeonpyeong Island last month, I think more people, both men and women alike, believe that they should be better prepared to take on sacrifices if necessary in protecting the country.
It's kind of a stressful time to be joining up to the army. Did you think about what was going on at the moment?
Before the attack last month, I always thought of North Koreans as our brothers, but now I've become a lot more alert about the threat they pose. As a woman, and now as a member of the military, I feel I need to be a lot more vigilant.
The attack on Yeonpyeong has prompted some much bigger changes in the armed forces too. A new defence minister, a new army chief, and a new, tougher defence policy. Some here say, about time. Meet the Seoul unit of the People's Liberation Front. There's lots of military experience here, and they're so keen to help fight the North Koreans, they've bought their own uniforms and cap badges. There's just one problem. They're banned from joining the South Korean army because they're North Korean. All the men and women crammed into this meeting room in central Seoul are defectors who escaped North Korea and are living here in the South. Unsmiling, behind dark glasses, they sit in bright, unused military fatigues.
When I was living in the North, I thought that Kim Jong-il was great, just like everyone else. I thought that the North Korean style of communism was the most superior. If I hadn't listened to radio from the outside world, that's still how I would be thinking.
Kim Sung-min served in the North Korean army for 15 years, a propaganda specialist, trained to follow every order given by his autocratic leader, Kim Jong-il. Now he's rooting for the other side. South Korea's army has got too soft, he says, and it's about time it toughened up. Some of his colleagues go further. It's not a stronger response the North needs, they say, but a preemptive strike. But South Korea is not ready to let former enemy soldiers into its army, so General Kim spends his time giving PowerPoint presentations to his unsmiling colleagues and holding occasional protests on the streets of Seoul. Instead, it'll be Hun Jin and her colleagues who'll share the job of defending those streets. Public support for a tougher stance against the North may be growing, but among the army's newest recruits, it's not just the women who admit to feeling scared.
That report from the BBC's Lucy Williamson in Seoul.